That camp, led by Mr. Bolton, regarded Mr. Pompeo and his diplomats with suspicion. Would they give away too much for too little? Would they give in to the North Korean entreaties to loosen sanctions? At a Stanford speech by Mr. Biegun in January appeared to the Hawks to be a red flag. He suggested that North Korea might not need to immediately hand over a complete declaration of nuclear assets, which American officials had demanded as a first step. But behind closed doors, Mr. Biegun and his team told the North Koreans that giving up the aging facilities at Yongbyon was not nearly enough for such extensive sanctions release. At the same time, the North Korean negotiators were inconsistent about which of the facilities inside Yongbyon were that they were offering to dismantle, at one point saying that only Kim Jong-un could decide. The negotiating teams were still deadlocked, even as Mr. Kim boarded a train for a two-day journey to Vietnam and Mr. Trump took off on Air Force One. The American team thought their North Korean counterparts would warn Mr. Kim that the demand to lift the five sanctions was a non-starter, so the two leaders would work on hashing something else out during the summit meeting. But soon after the two men arrived at the Metropole, the North Korean leader began arguing for relief from the five rounds of sanctions in exchange for Yongbyon. While North Korea had suspended operations at Yongbyon under agreements in 1994 and again in 2007, and later offered various moratoriums that were never fully executed, Mr. Kim's proposal appeared to go further than ever toward dismantling the entirety of the complex, officials said, but the exact terms were still vague. Mr. Trump countered with the grand bargain. The divide was underscored by the fact that at one point he presented Mr. Kim with a document laying out his definition of denuclearization. Mr. Kim objected that there was not enough trust between the two countries to give up everything at once. At a rare news conference shortly before midnight on Thursday, Mr. Ri argued that his country mostly needed security guarantees related to American military forces on the peninsula and portrayed the sanctions for Yongbyon trade as a step to build trust. In the end, Mr. Trump flew back to Washington with nothing. No agreement on a peace declaration and no ban on producing more nuclear fuel, meaning the North's arsenal will keep expanding while the two sides argue. There were only promises to keep talking. On Friday, as Mr. Trump woke up in the White House after his grueling trip, the long wooden table that had been moved into a meeting room of the Metropole Hotel for the signing ceremony still sat there, unused.